This is Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast, brought to you by TaylorTalk.org. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 68 of Taylor Talk. My name is Adam.
I'm Maya.
I'm Diane.
And I'm Steve.
And as always, we have a very special episode planned for you guys. We, just earlier today, did an exclusive interview with Clara, the brains behind the new feminist Taylor Swift Twitter account, and we are going to be playing that for you in a little bit. I do want to forewarn you, there are some, how do you say it, adultish topics? How would you guys describe them?
I'd say mature.
Yeah, more mature topics.
Okay, so it's intended for a more mature audience. It does attack certain feminist issues with regards to Taylor Swift lyrics and things like that. So if that type of thing offends you, hit the stop button after we do the news and tour updates and all that stuff. If you guys want to hear it, go for it. That's going to be played later in the episode. Also, if you guys haven't yet had a chance to play our Taylor Swift Jeopardy game from last week's episode, episode 67, be sure to go take a shot at that, submit your score to us, and we are going to be picking two contestants for an upcoming episode to compete against each other for a chance to win a free Taylor Talk t-shirt. So if you want that t-shirt, well, go listen to episode 67 and figure out how you can win. All right, Steve, please give us our first news item.
All right. Well, this was a great week for Canada. Taylor Swift attended the Canadian 2013 Much Music Video Awards. That was last Sunday, June 16th, where she ended up winning the favorite international artist slash group. So good for her. And she also introduced Ed and his performance.
Not only did Taylor visit Canada, but Canadian Swifties can now own a piece of Red Tour memorabilia. Red Tour merch is now available for pre-order in the official Taylor Swift online store, which is awesome for the Canadian listeners of the show, like Augustine from the Swift Agency. Shout out
to Augustine.
Woo. All right, now on to something a little bit more controversial. The store Abercrombie messed up big time this week, and I mean big time. In case you didn't hear of the Abercrombie fiasco, they recently released a t-shirt that said, "More boyfriends than TS." Obviously, the TS stood for Taylor Swift, and the Swifties were not having it. Mass amounts of Swifties complained, and because of that, Abercrombie stopped selling the t-shirt. As a response, they posted on Twitter, "Hey, hashtag Swifties, we no longer sell the t-shirt. We heart Taylor's music and think she's awesome." In other attempts to be friendly, if you give their PR department a call at 614-283-6192, a message will tell you that the Taylor Swift shirt is no longer available, which I called them like five times and I laughed every time because I thought it was pretty funny. So basically, the Abercrombie fiasco was a huge mess up for them, but a great chance to prove how powerful Swifties really are.
Did you guys see, I believe it was Cosmopolitan, that compared the Swiftie force to a biblical plague?
Yes.
It's pretty accurate.
That
was funny. So,
Adam, when did you start reading Cosmopolitan?
I didn't. I saw it on Twitter. Okay. Thanks, though, Steve. But I mean, it's kind of cool that as a collective, we actually have that much power. Because as far as I know, Taylor herself didn't get involved in this. This was all on the Swifties. It's pretty cool.
Good for Swifties.
Good for Swifties.
Swiftie power.
Thank you for the news, all my fellow co-hosts. Before we get into that interview we were telling you about, Sammy is going to give us the tour updates brought to you by T-Swift on Tour. Sammy?
Hey guys, it's Sammy at SamIam1331 from T-Swift on Tour, here with your weekly Red Tour wrap-up. Taylor spent her week off at her house in Rhode Island with Selena Gomez. They spent time at the beach and doing some shopping near her house, as well as a day in Boston and a day at Mystic, Connecticut. After some rest and relaxation, she headed back out on the road for a show in Winnipeg, another stadium show in Canada this tour. It was the first show anyone has ever performed at the shiny new Investors Bank Field. Taylor christened the new stadium with both a new show opener shirt and a B-stage outfit that was modified for those hot summer nights she will be spending in stadiums performing. The secret song was Teardrops on My Guitar, the second time it was performed this tour. The first was in San Antonio, Texas last month. Next week, Taylor has two back-to-back shows at the Rexall Place in Alberta. That was your weekly Red Tour wrap-up. Bye, guys. See you next week.
Thank you for that, Sammy. Remember, guys, if you want live tour updates, remember to go follow at T-Swift on tour on Twitter. As promised, we are here now with the genius behind at Feminist T-Swift, the latest viral T-Swift sensation to hit the web. So, hi, Clara.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thanks.
So, we just wanted to chat with you because, obviously, you started this account, what, roughly a week and a half ago?
Approximately.
And it's already topped 104,000 followers last I checked.
Yep.
That is totally insane.
That's insane.
Absolutely
insane. I've never seen an account go that fast, except for maybe like Charlie Sheen. That's insane. That's nuts.
Yep. Yeah, it's been totally crazy. Totally crazy.
Cool. So, I mean, the first and foremost, are you a Swiftie?
Oh my God, yes.
Okay, good.
Because some people weren't very sure.
Yeah, people were really skeptical, but like, I couldn't do this if I didn't have all of her lyrics secretly memorized, you know? Like,
the secret's out now, though.
I know, secret's out. 104,000 people now know, but that's fine.
But yeah, I mean, there was definitely some conversation going around. Specifically, I actually found a tweet today, in fact, that it was from at the Swift Factor, who said, "I can't tell if they're trying to make fun of Taylor or not. I mean, they seem to know a lot of her lyrics." So you just cleared that up for me and hopefully her.
Yep, hopefully she's listening. I'm definitely on your team.
Team Swift.
Team Swift, yeah.
So how'd you come up with the idea for a feminist Taylor Swift account?
I mean, it kind of came out of nowhere, like, naturally. I consider myself a feminist. I am a Taylor Swift fan. I was walking home from work, listening to something. I don't remember what song. People have asked me. I don't know. But listening to Taylor Swift, and it just, like, occurred to me out of nowhere. So I tweeted it to my own account, and then, like, 20 minutes later, my friend Kevin, who's, like, a big, like, hardcore, awesome feminist at Brown, who, like, writes all these columns and stuff about gender issues, he calls me on the phone and he was like, "Claire, you need to do this. This needs to actually happen. Like, definitely, like, let's make this a thing."
So I love that. There was a guy that was the inspiration. Well, not inspiration, but the encouragement.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. I mean, it was like the kind of thing that I figured, like, oh, that's a cool idea. And then how many cool ideas do you have a day that you, like, never follow through on?
Are we talking about me? Because that number is probably lower than everybody else.
I don't know about that, Adam.
Pretty much the only thing I ever came up with was this podcast, so.
Well, that worked out for you.
I bet the day before that, you probably had some other cool idea, like chocolate pancake batter or something, but like you never, now I have to make chocolate pancakes. Anyway, I don't know what that was about, that thing I just said, but yeah. Pancakes?
Pancakes are good.
We know about pancakes.
Edit out that pancake moment. But yeah.
So then why Taylor Swift? Because Taylor herself said she's not exactly a feminist. And I'm sure you've heard this quote already about, "I don't really think about things as guys versus girls."
Right.
So why Taylor?
So my feeling on that, I was so disappointed when I read that quote. Because my feeling on that is, if you don't see things as guys versus girls, and the rest of the quote says something to the effect of, like, my parents raised me that, you know, if I work hard, it doesn't matter if I'm a guy or a girl, like, I can be successful.
Right.
That's feminism. Like, that's a pretty fundamentally feminist thing to believe, that regardless of your gender, if you work hard, you should be able to accomplish the same things. And unfortunately, that's not true in, like, today's society in America.
Well, I think Taylor's pretty successful.
Well, Taylor's killing it. Taylor's very successful, and she's, like, and she's done an incredible job sort of managing all of the weird media pressures that have been, like, thrown at her. But, like, that's feminism. So, like, a lot of, her coming out and being like, "Oh, I'm not a feminist. I just think this feminist thing," was, like, kind of frustrating for me. Plus, like, being a feminist and then listening to songs that, like, have, like, certain messages that are not that feminist was, like, sort of cognitive dissonance for me. So, and a lot of other people, like, I have a lot of friends at Brown who really love Taylor Swift and are just like, "Yeah, like, that one line in that one song makes me feel sort of weird about it, but, like, otherwise she's really great." So there's a lot to work with.
Well, what's an example of one of those lines?
Like, okay, in 15, we've got poor Abigail. You know, Abigail gave everything she had to a boy who changed his mind. And it's heavily implied in a lot of different places that what we mean by Abigail giving everything she had was not like emotionally everything she had. It was like Abigail was a virgin before she met him, etc. And that's so sad because it's like, Abigail, that's not everything you have. You have your personality. He didn't take that, you know? You have your intellect and your sense of humor and your endless potential, you know? You've got, you'll do things greater than dating boys on the football team or whatever. And it's just sad, first of all, that poor Abigail felt that way. But then second of all, that this message of like, oh, you know, be careful, because if you give everything you have to someone, i.e. your virginity, you know, he might change his mind and then you'll have to cry. It really undermines women in a way that, like, clearly I don't think was intentional on Swift's part or anybody's part, but it was just, like, not helpful and not empowering.
But is it fair to judge her by something she wrote so long ago when she was so young and may not have understood things like that?
Well, I agree with you. I think that in the years since then, she's become a lot more like progressive and open-minded. Like, you know, in Picture to Burn, she's like threatening to call her ex-boyfriend gay as if like that's an insult and that's awkward. And you know, by the time Red comes around, isn't the song on Red that
I think that line's a little bit different. The part where she threatens to call him gay, I don't think that's condescending towards gay people. I think it's more like she's going to tell her friends that he's gay so none of them will be interested in him. I think that's a little bit different.
I hadn't interpreted it as like they won't be interested. I had interpreted that as like, oh, like I'll tell my, like you'll tell your friends that I'm obsessive and crazy. That's an insult. I'll tell mine you're gay. That's also an insult. Like I heard that in that way. I don't know. In any case, she was 16 when she wrote the song. Like I was saying all kinds of offensive stuff when I was 16 that I like didn't even realize I was saying. Like that's fine. Everybody has those moments. But like she's definitely, through her lyrics, it seems like she's grown up a lot and like become a lot more open-minded in the last like however many years, and like we all have, you know.
I think she's got a lot more independent too in her lyrics.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, definitely. It's a lot less of like, I need you, like I can't be without you. It's a lot more like, you know, I almost do. There's definitely a lot more independence on her newer albums, which is like really awesome to see. I'm like, oh yeah, personal growth, T Swift. Awesome.
Something like 22 versus like Teardrops on My Guitar would be an example.
Yeah, exactly. Or in You Belong With Me, she's hating on the girl who wears high heels, and then in Begin Again she's like, he never liked it when I wore high heels, but I do. She likes to wear high heels, and anybody else's opinion can like, they can go suck it somewhere. So that's where I'm at with that. It's like she's owning her own decisions a lot more now, which is great.
So setting aside specific examples, do you think Taylor's songs are empowering to women or disempowering?
Oh, that's hard. She has so many songs.
I told you I was going to put you on the spot.
I know. I really do think it depends on the song, though. That's the thing. It's like, I think Taylor Swift, her image in general, I think can be very empowering to women, and it like also depends on the woman and like how she's interpreting things. But
I think you hit on it. You're right, because there is a Taylor Swift brand in play as well, and that can be very empowering. I've seen tons and tons and tons of, you know, young ladies in the community all the time commenting on Taylor teaching them to be fearless, and some of them even claiming Taylor saved them from suicide, which is an extreme claim. But, I mean, it could be true, and it's huge. Yeah. That's a big deal.
I mean, music makes a huge impact on people, and, like, at a certain point, she sort of releases these songs out into the world, and it's up to people to interpret them however they're going to. You know, like, you only have so much control over the art that you produce, and, like, the brands that she produces, and, like, I think it's been overall really positive for a lot of people, but then they're also, you know, like, what I might interpret as empowering, somebody else might interpret as disempowering, and I'm just like, well, okay, that's you. Like, if it makes you feel bad, don't listen to it. It makes me feel good, so I do listen to it. Like, that's sort of where I'm at with it.
How do you think Taylor is perceived by the general feminist community?
Negatively, and it makes me so sad. All of my, like, not all, but like a lot of my more intense feminist friends will be like, oh my gosh, Taylor Swift, are you kidding? And I'm like, no, but she's so great.
Are they going to be like mad at you for coming and talking to us now?
Oh, no, they'll be excited. They'll be totally excited. This whole feminist T-Swift Twitter phenomenon has made them a lot more excited about Taylor Swift on my behalf, which is great. But in general, it's a lot of critique and a lot of sort of, I think it's really easy for people to look at Taylor Swift, like people who want to look at Taylor Swift and think, oh, like that's anti-feminist because X, Y, and Z, and therefore no one should ever listen to her. And I've got two sort of objections to that. First of all, I don't think they're seeing the whole picture. And second of all, if something is anti-feminist, like, you know, just suppose all of Taylor Swift's everything were anti-feminist, which I don't think is true at all, but like suppose, even then, you can't dictate what people are allowed to like and not allowed to like on the basis of what you think it means for society. You know, like, I'm a feminist, I still watch romantic comedies. Which
you do not.
I know. I know. Scandal of the century. Like, you can't just cut all problematic things out of your life because they are at odds with one thing if it doesn't bother you that much. If it bothers you a lot, obviously don't listen to it, that's fine, but like, I don't know. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me.
So what are some of the I guess other arguments that the general feminist community has against Taylor, and maybe we can try and defend her?
Well, some of them are that some of them I think apply more to pre-Reg Taylor. Like, there's this argument that she sort of perpetuates this virgin whore dichotomy with songs like You Belong With Me or Better Than Revenge, where, like, there's the other girl who is sexual and bad and mean and evil, and then there's Taylor who comes in the white dress and she's so lovely and pure and wonderful. And this is, like, a well-documented thing, this virgin whore dichotomy. You've got your Jackie and your Marilyn, and that's just in general not good for women, because it's sort of whatever choices you make, you're pushed into this box that even if one of them is the good box and one of them is the bad box, neither box is really a full human. It sort of reduces women to their sexuality. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, and in songs like You Belong With Me or Better Than Revenge, like, that's definitely something that's going on, but I feel like that's also something that Taylor was experiencing and sort of the lens through which she was seeing this, just because it's so prevalent in society. You know, she wasn't sitting there thinking like, ooh, I'm going to diminish women in this song. She was just thinking, oh, Camilla Bell sucks.
Right. She was like, she was an upset teenager.
Exactly.
She wasn't trying to piss anyone off. Yeah, besides maybe, you know, the object of the song.
right, exactly. Like, and I'm sort of like, if I had been sitting there next to Taylor Swift when she was about to write the song, I'd be like, okay, call this girl mean all you want, like, call her terrible, all of that, but don't tie the fact that she's terrible to what you believe her sexual proclivities are, because, like, those are going to have to be value neutral. Does that make sense? Like,
mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. You're saying she attacks her on the wrong qualities, based upon the wrong qualities.
Yeah, like, call her, like, a terrible backstabber, like, that's fine, because she probably is. I don't know what happened. Like, if that's what you're feeling, definitely write that, but like, talking about what she does on the mattress is kind of neither here nor there.
Although that line is probably one of the funniest out of any Taylor Swift song.
Such a good line. I know.
Oh, geez, all your feminist friends are gonna come down on me now.
No, I agree. It's so like, you go, Taylor, you tell him. But then I come back to my like rational thinking self and I'm like, oh wait, that's so problematic on so many levels. But I love it when she sticks it to him though.
So what about then some of the like fairy tale songs like Love Story? Do you think those are sort of portraying like these stereotypical gender roles, or is she just telling a fairy tale story?
I mean, fairy tale stories do perpetuate those gender roles. You know, it's not an either or thing. I think she's doing both. But I also think like, if that's a story that's appealing to her and it's appealing to so many other people, like, it's sort of what I was getting at before, when, like, just because something is not in line with your ideals about gender equality, that doesn't mean that it's not going to be appealing to you. You know, like, I'm a huge feminist, but still, if, like, some imaginary prince came and knocked on my door and swept me off my feet, I'd be, like, thrilled. Obviously, like, I just think it'd be fine. And, like, I can acknowledge this and be like, okay, I'm all about gender equality, and, like, I think, you know, preconceived notions of masculinity and femininity are, like, mostly crap, and that's fine, but also some of them are nice to me to think about sometimes, and, like, that's also fine. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I keep asking if things make sense, but yeah, that's sort of, and so a lot of people criticize Taylor for that sort of on the basis of, like, this is what our children are listening to. Like, we're giving them these messages, but society's already giving the kids these messages. As soon as you start them watching, like, Disney princess movies, they're getting these messages. So I think it's a lot of, like, there's a lot of blame placed on Taylor Swift or Disney movies, even, where the blame really should be, like, more diffused amongst all of society.
Yeah, but people like to point the finger at something. They need something specific to blame.
Oh, they totally do. They love doing that. And it's like, that's not fair to anyone, because that's just, like, focusing all of your anger of this subject on one person or one phenomenon or one thing, and, like, you're missing the forest for the trees.
Right. Now, on Feminist T-Swift, are you tweeting more generalized feminist messages, or are these specific to Taylor?
These are more, most of them are more general feminist messages. Sometimes it'll be, like, in particular in reference to one line in one song that, like, I have a problem with, or it'll be the ones that get the most retweets are the ones that are in defense of Taylor, actually, but, like, from a feminist standpoint. So, like, oh, let me find one.
I think I have one example, at least one I thought defended Taylor rather than mocking her, was when you tweeted, you go talk to your friends, talk to my friends, talk to me, but you are never, ever going to shame me for my romantic history.
Yes, exactly. And that's, like, telling people, no matter who you are, you should not be judged for how many people you date or how public your breakups are. Like, I do not care who you are or what, where in the world you are. Like, your romantic decisions are your business. What you want to share about your romantic decisions is your business. If you want to write 0 songs about your ex-boyfriends, that's fine. If you want to write 100 songs about your ex-boyfriends, that's also fine. Like, if your ex-boyfriends get mad about it, that's their prerogative too. But it's not the media's job to be like, ooh, we should be upset with Taylor Swift because she has boyfriends. Like, that's just silly.
The nerve.
The nerve.
How dare she have boyfriends?
And the worst part, I read a blog post about this, like, 6 months ago, is that when you're in Hollywood, everyone that you're photographed having lunch with is a boyfriend. You know, like,
especially if your name is Taylor Swift.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I'm in college. If I am, like, hooking up with a guy for 2 months, the word boyfriend will not cross either of our lips. Like,
right. But it's like ever. The second that she, like, looks at someone for more than a minute, like, it's like, Taylor Swift is in love. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Exactly. And, like, if every guy that I, like, went to dinner with was an ex-boyfriend, then, like, yeah,
so
I'd have
many boyfriends.
I'd have so many boyfriends. Then I'd have so many ex-boyfriends when people would be like, ooh, Clara, another breakup. And
well, Clara, you'd have plenty of material to write songs about, or in your case, tweet about.
And
I think
trust
this
me.
Was like a whole ongoing thing with my friends at some point that we were joking about it, though, like, anyone that I hugged of my friends I was dating, and then, like, yeah, suddenly I was dating, like, 20 people, and, you know, it's a good totally. Time.
Maya, yeah, stop, like, hugging people. You're
sorry,
not allowed to show
God.
Affection.
They can't help it.
Totally. And I've got friends who make fun of me for, like, being a Taylor Swift fan in the first place, and, like, they have seen certain trends with me and like my own romantic life that they also see reflected in Taylor Swift. I like may also go for inappropriate men and get attached really fast. Not that she necessarily does these things. This is just what I'm like extrapolating from her lyrics. But anyway, I also do these things. So it's also really hard, like when people are like, oh, you know, Taylor Swift does all this, like makes all these poor choices. I'm like, wait, but I'm also making those poor choices.
Mm-hmm. Like, wait, like, but I do that too.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, but like I also do that. So I can't really be telling her not to.
Well, that's what makes her music so relatable, and that's why it's so unfair to criticize.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We're all, like, I don't know, she's, what, 23? I'm 21. We're all, like, average age 22 mentally anyways. And, like, everyone's just making weird mistakes and, like, doing crazy stuff, and we're all gonna look back and be like, oh, wasn't that crazy, all that stuff I did? And then we'll be adults. I don't know what I just said.
I got it.
A lot of people get, you know, like up in arms about whatever, about the things that she writes about. But I think that at least most female people, and probably male people also, can relate to something that she's written about at some point in their life, even if it's not right now. Like, they've been through one of those things.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They could, you know, I don't know.
Definitely. Definitely, definitely. And, like, a lot of people, I feel like, mistake making unwise romantic choices with being anti-feminist, which I don't think is fair. Like, somebody was talking to me the other day, and they were like, oh, so now that you're, like, writing feminist Taylor Swift, like, don't you feel silly for having been so upset about your breakup last year? And I'm like, no. Being upset about a breakup isn't a not feminist thing to do. I can be a feminist and still have been upset about my breakup.
That makes, like, no sense to me, that question.
Yeah, it was a very weird question. I was like, I don't really know what you're getting at here, but people give Taylor Swift this same criticism of, like, oh, you know, she's always writing about how sad she is about her breakups. Like, that's not very feminist of her. And it's like, what?
It's like, you can't tell me that, like, you, whatever, even like a feminist went, like, has never had a breakup that they were upset about.
Yeah.
And that, no way that's true.
And to do that would be to really undermine this, like, the very idea of, like, romance and, you know,
like, if you're not sad about your breakups, I don't think you're doing it right.
That is exactly what I said for the first, like, 2 months after my breakup. People were like, oh my gosh, Clara, like, you're sad. And I'm like, yeah, of course I'm sad.
Like, what am I supposed to be?
In what alternate universe would I not be sad? That would be really weird.
Aren't you mean you're not supposed to, like, want to destroy the male race?
Right? Maybe I'm just, like, being a hopeless romantic. But I feel like romance is a totally valid thing. And people, if that's something they want to pursue, they should have every right to pursue it. And, like, they can still have whatever beliefs about gender and whatever beliefs about gender equality that they want. Like, that's fine.
So what do you think is the most clever thing you have tweeted on this feminist T-Swift account? Are there any that you're just like, dang, I am good on that one. I was very clever.
Oh, I don't know. I really like the first one. The first one is, she wears short skirts, I wear T-shirts, neither of us is asking for it.
I love that one, too.
That's a good one.
That was golden.
I love that one. That one was like the first one that occurred to me, and I was like, this is so good.
That one amazed me because it has like close to 6,000 retweets.
Oh my gosh, cool.
By far more than any of the other ones. But
yeah.
One of my favorites that I came across of your tweets was, loving him was like driving a new Maserati down a dead end street, but at least I'm, or at least in this song, I'm in the driver's seat.
Yeah, that one I liked. That one I liked a lot. Cause if you could, like, count all of the songs in which she refers to being in the passenger seat or riding shotgun or however many, there are so many. She's, like, never driving the car. And she has every reason to be driving the car, especially because she is, as a woman and as a person, so in charge of her own life. Like, she's huge. She's Taylor Swift.
Well, Claire, I know this may be very difficult to believe, but Taylor Swift actually has a driver's license.
Exactly.
It's crazy, isn't it?
She can use it.
I know, she has her own car and everything.
Yeah, well, I didn't even realize I didn't realize that this was a thing that had been bugging me until I was, like, being a dork and, like, looking up covers that she had done on YouTube. And have you guys heard her cover of Nashville?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So beautiful. But I was listening to that, and it said something about, like, I was talking crazy from the driver's side, and I was like, wow, she was on the driver's side?
Oh, my God.
This is new. And then I realized, like, oh, wow, wait, she's actually never on the driver's side in, like, any of her songs that involve cars. What? So, figured I had to poke fun of that one. It was necessary.
So, kind of starting to wrap up the discussion on your Twitter account, Feminist T-Swift, moving forward, what's your goal with the account? Because I'm willing to bet you didn't expect all this attention that you've gotten.
Oh my God, I have been shocked by the attention. I thought like some people on the internet might be kind of entertained. I had no idea.
But instead you got picked up by Washington Post, the Rolling Stone magazine, USA Today.
Yeah,
Time
like
magazine.
There are more people following me on Twitter than like the population of some countries.
And that's insane.
That's just mind-blowing. Yeah, like very small countries, but like countries. There are countries that are 100,000 people.
So what's your goal moving forward then?
I have no idea. It's been sort of incredible to just be given this platform from which I can actually reach a lot of people. And I think I'm actually, not to like toot my own horn, it's sort of weird like being like, oh, I'm doing a very important thing. But I think it actually has been very useful to the feminist movement that, like, you know, on like a small scale level, I'm like not redefining feminism, but I'm exposing it to a lot of people who have maybe never thought about feminism in like a serious way before, and like making it accessible to people who hadn't really thought about it. You know, it's easy for someone to read something like one of the tweets that is pretty straightforward. You know, like, I'm walking fast through the traffic lights, busy streets and busy lives, and all we know is unwanted catcalls from strangers. Which is one of the most recent ones. And, like, that one was pretty easy to read and understand immediately. Like, okay, this is what it's about. Like, it's about unwanted catcalls from strangers. This is going to be a feminist topic because this is in the feminist Taylor Swift thing. Oh, that's a feminist thing? Like, now I'm going to think more about how shitty it is to be catcalled by strangers while I'm just trying to walk down the street, and like from a feminist perspective, like, what does that mean? So hopefully that's made a few people think more about feminism and hopefully like Google something they didn't know about. Or I've had a lot of people asking me what it means to other a gender.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that, I mean, because that was something I hadn't really heard about till I like took a sociology class, so like that's fine. So that's my goal right now, is just to keep doing it and keep making feminism
headlines
accessible. Keep making headlines. That's sort of my goal right now. Plus, like, if there were a way that this could, like, mean that Taylor Swift and I become best friends in the future and, like, run away together to live in Rhode Island and, like, ice cream, that'd be pretty cool, too.
That would be fun. I think that's all of our goals, though, that part.
Yeah. Yeah.
We all want to be Taylor's best friend.
Yep. Well, that would be awesome.
Yeah, and then I know we mentioned it at the beginning of the conversation, but just to reiterate, one, you are in fact a fellow Swiftie, right?
Absolutely.
And two, this account supports Taylor. It does not mock her.
No, absolutely not. I feel like a lot of the mocking of Taylor Swift is actually pretty decidedly anti-feminist. There was one tweet that was actually really funny. Where was it? You were Romeo, I was a scarlet letter, because I've had like 6 boyfriends, which isn't even a lot. Slut shaming is a real problem. Just like, because so much of the criticism against Taylor Swift is like, oh, she's dated so many people, and like, that's slut shaming. I'm sorry. I don't care whether you're implying that she's had sex with a lot of people or not. Like, criticizing somebody for dating too many people is slut shaming, and that's totally reducing this artist to nothing but like her romantic history, and that's just crap. Like
I feel like everyone in the world knows someone who like has dated 6 or more people, and they're not like calling them a slut all the time.
Maya. Like...
Totally. No, absolutely. Like, it's like, that's like a first of all, the number of, like, it's a pretty reasonable number. And then second of all, like, who are we to say what a reasonable number of people to date even is? Like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know her life, and, like, she doesn't know my life. If Taylor Swift were sitting here saying, like, Clara Beyer has dated an unreasonable number of people, I'd be like, you don't know me. Well, who are you to say that? Like, it's no one's business to say how many people anybody else should be dating.
Right. Well, I just wanted to make absolute clear to everyone that you're in support of Taylor rather than mocking her, because I know that's been kind of a thing lately, because you're so new that everybody's like, I don't know what to think of this yet.
Yep. And I've tried to tweet back at some people who I see on the interactions feed on this account from my personal account saying, like, hey, like, I'm not trying to make fun of Taylor Swift. Like, you know, I'm just sort of exposing some stuff in this particular song, but, like, I'm a fan. And sometimes people tweet back and they're, like, really excited, like, oh good, I'm so glad, like, now I can follow this account and, like, feel good about it. And some people are like, yeah, I hope no one opens the door for you, jerk. It's almost that's like really the minority, though. Like, it's already the minority who are like, oh, I'm not sure how I feel about this. And then of the ones that I reach out to, most of them are really excited, like, oh, yeah, you're a Swiftie.
And well, on an account that big with that subject area, you're lucky to keep hate to a minimum, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. It's been, and some of the hate is just so incoherent that I, like, can't even process it. And I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to let that person say some words on their little corner of the internet, like, whatever. But in general, like, if I see an interaction that's, like, hate or, like, just sort of thinking that I'm being a hater, I, like, try to come in and not just, like, clear the air and say, like, it's cool, I'm on your team, I love T-Swift, I'm just, like, also having this, like, intellectual exercise with these lyrics, but, like, I think she's great and I'm not trying to mock her whatsoever.
Excellent. Well, thank you for joining us, Claire. I know it must have been a big decision for you to come on here when you got, like, Rolling Stone knocking on your door, but...
Anytime. It's been wonderful.
Thanks so much. Everybody go follow her at Feminist T Swift on Twitter, assuming you're not following her already.
Yeah. Everybody cool is following me. All the cool kids are doing it.
Sweet.
You now have the permission of the keepers of the podcast.
Cool. Thanks, Clara.
Uh-huh.
Wow, I'm really glad we got to speak with Clara. That was really enlightening, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, I think she brought up a lot of topics that I myself have never even thought of before. So, I mean, it was just great to hear a different perspective, and I just found it really interesting.
Cool. Thanks again to Clara for joining us and doing that. On to something we actually haven't done in quite a while. When's the last time we did a What Would Taylor Do?
I don't know. It's been a long time.
Like,
sure.
Months ago, maybe?
Forever ago. And unfortunately, this isn't exactly What Would Taylor Do, but kind of close. So let's turn to Natalia, who left us a voicemail from the Philippines.
Hey, Taylor Talk. I'm Natalia, listening all the way from the Philippines. I have something a little bit different for you. Instead of What Would Taylor Do, what would Meredith do? What would Meredith do if Taylor somehow found a cuter cat and is giving her more attention than Meredith and taking more videos of that cat instead of Meredith? Thanks.
Wow. So I know people out there are probably screaming right now, how dare there be a cuter cat than Meredith? No such thing exists. But what would Meredith do? Do you guys have any thoughts?
I think Meredith would be super jealous. Like, I don't think she would be happy at all. She would be pouting in the corner and whining and just not having it.
I think she's probably used to all the attention by now. So, like, I don't know what she'd, like, if she'd know what to do when, like, Taylor wasn't taking pictures and videos of her anymore.
Right? I think Meredith would be cool about it. She'd be like, I had my moment.
I don't know, Adam, because cats aren't like that. They are very self-centered. They like to take the best seat in the house to nap on. They don't like to share the spotlight. So I just don't think Meredith would be happy.
Steve, do you have an opinion on the matter? We haven't heard from you.
I'd have to agree with Diane on that, just based on the instincts of most cats, and especially for Meredith, just everything that she's had, you can't just switch that and all of a sudden, you know, not have the spotlight on you anymore.
I love how you guys all provided very analytical responses trying to get into the psyche of a cat.
Well, it's a very analytical question, Adam. It's a very serious discussion.
It's very, very serious.
We're
That's
very
why we
intense
had
about our cat conversations here on Taylor Talk.
All right. Thank you, Natalia, for sending in that voicemail. If you guys have an opinion on what would Meredith do, you guys can contact us. You know all the ways to do so. You can email us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. You can tweet us, Facebook us, or Taylor Connect us to taylortalk13. Or you could leave us a voicemail or text message to area code 24031SWIFT. Or if you are out of the U.S. and Canada, you can leave a voicemail directly on taylortalk.org. Hope you guys enjoyed the interview with Clara today and our little What Would Taylor Do segment. For episode 68, this has been Adam,
Maya,
Diane,
and Steve.
Saying have a great day, guys. We'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.
This podcast is not directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.